I tell you what, I'm going to get you all just this morning to sit on the benches around here and it will all come clear. So if you guys can all come sit around here, because it might get a bit dangerous in a minute. Who's health and safety? So let's just pray. Lord, this morning it is all about you. It's all about you. Lord, I just pray that you will open our minds and quiet them and open our hearts to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, so today we are learning about David and Goliath, or as I like to call it, the sword, the story of the sword and the wool. I have the wool. I'm not sure about the sword. I have the wool here this morning to show you. My family knows me very, very well, and they know that one of my favourite TV programmes is Gold Rush. I love watching it. And it's about these guys who are driving big diggers and trucks, and they're digging up gold, and every week they're trying to find out how much they've found. And they always talk about the mother load. And the mother load is this fictional thing, which apparently is this huge amount of gold that they never seem to find. Well, today, I can guarantee you that we have found the mother load. I promise you that we will find the mother load. You see, it's when Alex asked you to preach, it's a real privilege because actually you have to put a lot of work in. And it's months and months of trying to understand it. Because I feel if you stand here and talk to you guys, you need to know these stories. And David is not a small story within the Bible. It's all of Samuel, all of Chronicles, all of the Psalms. It's a massive, massive story. And it is like hitting the richest seam of gold in terms of what we can learn and gain from it. And today, I feel very sort of sad, really, in some ways, because all I can do is talk to you about a tiny, tiny little bit about David. But learning about David is a real privilege, and really understanding a bit more about him. I need 20 sermons, not 20 minutes, really, to talk a little bit more about David, really. But David and Goliath is one of our best-known Bible stories. Every child who goes to Sunday school will learn about David and Goliath. But the question I ask you guys here, who here, let's put our hands up, who thinks they know David and Goliath's story really, really well? I shall see. Let's just see how well you know David and Goliath. So, Goliath. Let's talk about Goliath. I need a Goliath. And I have a willing volunteer I've already prompted. So I need a willing Goliath. So, Goliath was a huge, huge man. This guy is not huge enough. nowhere near. He started out, are there giants in the Bible? Hands up, who thinks there are giants in the Bible? The King James Version mentions giants in the Bible 19 times. So there are giants, proper giants in the Bible. It's in there. If you don't believe me, go and look at your Bible. But giants are in the Bible. In 2 Samuel 21, it refers to giants that came from the town of Gath. So for today, you're coming from the town of Gath. And that is where Goliath lived, and it was one of the main Philistine towns. So Gath was one of the really big towns for the Philistines, and that's where the giants lived, all right? And Goliath wasn't the only giant. In fact, he had four brothers, and they are also mentioned in 2 Samuel. So you can go and have a dig about and find out a bit more about that, and so you can do a little bit more about that. But let's talk about Goliath today. So he was a trained warrior from birth. That was his life's mission, was to go and kill people. He'd been trained from the word go how to kill people. So he stood 9 foot 9 inches tall. We're going to try and see how far Max is nowhere near big enough. So I need a health and safety officer to make sure we don't fall over.
That'll be me.
Is that okay? That way. Okay, so we need 9 foot 9. So maybe, Max, we can get the measuring tape. Let's just get to, so we are. Let's see if we can get to 9. Let's see, just put it on the floor. got to my show. That's 8 foot. 9 foot. So it's about there. So that's how tall Goliath was. So he wasn't just a big guy. He was a real proper huge giant. So we can get Max down and make David relax a bit. We'll put that set, we'll need to set that again in a minute. So Max, you can, So also Goliath wore a coat of armour. How heavy do you think the coat of armour was? The Bible says 60 kilograms. This is 50 kilograms. Right? And he also had a shield that somebody else needed to hold because it was everything that so I need a volunteer to hold the shield. So there we are. And he also had a sword. And thankfully we've got a very good sword maker in the garage. So So we'll put it down. So this was Goliath's sword. Thanks for coming here. Okay, right, sorry, mate. We'll put this down.
Don't worry.
We'll put this down. So there we are. And children, you can come and try and lift up the arm. So you can actually sit down, so thank you very much. You can get an understanding of just how big this guy is. Yes, sorry, you can sit down as well. How big Goliath was. He was absolutely huge. But the other thing was, the sword was a special sword. And this is a bit, well, I say, you probably don't know. Why, does anybody know why Goliath's sword was very, very special? Well, probably you didn't realise that David, after he dealt with Goliath, took the sword and made it his own sword. And David describes it as, in 1 Samuel 21, there is no sword like it. So it was a very, very special sword. So it's mentioned a number of times in the Bible, the sword. So we'll put that there for a moment. So the equivalent of a modern day battle tank. So this guy is huge, he's properly armoured, he's got the best sword in the country, he's got a man who's got to hold a shield for him. He's a very, very, very imposing guy. So let's consider David then. So David's the son of a shepherd. In fact, he was the youngest son of a shepherd. And he was the son of Jesse. And if you go and look at Jesse's heritage, it's fairly questionable. Again, mums and dads, you can go and dig into your Bibles and then find out why Jesse's heritage was a little bit dubious. Okay. But you know what? This is one of the key points for today. Time and time again, God uses the insignificant people. He doesn't choose the high flyers, the high achievers. He often chooses the less significant ones. So let's give you some more examples. Gideon, Joseph the carpenter, Moses, Saul, just a few to consider. In fact, Gideon says this when he's chosen, "But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least within my family." So you can see, God is choosing not the really grand guys. He's choosing some of the more insignificant people. So, why is this? Why does God choose these people? Well, let's look at David and let's try and understand that. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, Samuel is appointed to go to Jesse and choose one of his sons so that he could anoint one of them to become king. God has his mind on David, but when Samuel gets there, he doesn't think that way. And Samuel looks at Jesse's oldest son and thinks, wow, strapping guy, this is the guy, this is the man to be king. And God says this. This is nobody else, this is God. "Do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. Do you know, that's one of the... preparing for this sermon, that has stopped me in my tracks, that verse, because it's actually, when you really dig into it and you really look at yourself, it's really quite hard. God looks at our hearts. He doesn't care how tall we are. He doesn't care how pretty we are. He doesn't care how much of a high achiever we are, how talented, how rich we are. He doesn't care about any of that. He cares about our hearts. That's what he cares about. But what does that mean? What does it mean? What does it mean he cares about our hearts? So, he chose David. So let's look at David. David had a good heart. So let's try and understand that. So David wasn't a trained warrior. David didn't have any armor. He didn't have a spear. He didn't have a sword. In fact, he came to the battle to see his brothers. What did he see? He sees Goliath shouting his challenges at the Israelites. And the Israelites were doing nothing. Absolute rubbish, the whole lot of them. Just sat there, insignificant, doing nothing. And in fact, when they saw Goliath, they ran away. So David went to see King Saul. And he said, I'll deal with this. And King Saul didn't take him seriously. He said, this is a child. This is a child. Absolute rubbish. Not going to deal with this. David then says, do you know what? I've had bears, I've had lions attack my sheep, and I've dealt with them, and they're far worse than Goliath. I've got no problem at all. But then he also said, I've got God on my side. And do you know what? There's a film which the older people will remember, my sort of age, Crocodile Dundee 2. Do you remember Crocodile Dundee films? Yeah. You remember there's a guy sat by a lake, and he goes, he's having a beer, it's called Nugget. And the baddie comes up to him and he goes, you don't need a beer, mate, you need a gun. And he goes, I don't need a gun, I've got a donk. And this big guy is called Donk, and he goes, pow, like that, and he knocks it out. Well, David didn't have a donk, but he had a God. And he had a God on his side. So there we are. So David absolutely was confident. So he didn't need the armor, he didn't need anything, he just needed God, and he needed his sling. So let me tell you about the sling. Well, I've got a sword, I better have a sling. This is one I made. Well, I've made it out of wool. You see, David was a shepherd, so his sling was probably made out of wool. And this is the point. Wool, on its own, is just nothing. It's not, you can break it if you want to break it, but when you weave it together, it becomes something really, quite something very, very different. You see, David would have been very, very good at this. He would have used this every single day. And a missile coming out of this at 100 miles an hour would have dealt with any Goliath or any wolf or any bear. But do you really understand that? Do you really know what a sling does? Shall we have a go? So Max, can I use you again? Can I get you... See that circle there? I probably need you. Well, I've found a key down to the river and got a couple of stones. Need a bit higher. They were freshly laid this morning. So, this could go horribly wrong, so I might get you guys to go around a little bit. But this is a piece of wool that we've woven together. Right. I have practiced this, and it does go wrong sometimes, so don't judge me, because David will be fine. Thank you, Max. Thank you. So look, many of us would choose the sword, but David chose the wool. And this woven wool is like the love of God. And if we weave the Lord's love into our hearts, then we are a powerful, powerful instrument. And if we don't have God's love in our hearts, then we are nothing. We are like a piece of wool that we can break and take away. So remember, you know, Goliath didn't realise what he was fighting. He just thought he was fighting a boy. But really he was fighting the boy with God behind him. And so he was, you know, God could just squish him like an ant. So this is the point. Remember, God chose David because of his heart. David had woven God's love into his heart, and that's why God chose him. David went on to do many, many great things. But he also did some really bad things as well. He committed some really bad sins. But he was always there, and he always praised God, and he always said sorry when he was bad. Psalm 51 is a fantastic part of the scripture to go to and read. If you want to know about repentance, go and read Psalm 51. It is absolutely beautiful piece of scripture. But the love piece, and this love thing has really resonated in the preparation for this. And I wanted to just finish this by reading 2 Corinthians 13, having love in your heart. If I speak in tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. If I have faith, I can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I have not love, I am nothing. So in summary, this is the thing I would just ask us all to do today, is examine your own hearts. Have you got God's love in them? This is a great opportunity for you just to reassess and just think about that and to reflect, meditate on that. Do we have faith of David? Do we know that God will support us in our daily lives? Or would we rather trust on our own armour?
Thank you very much, Tim. That's fantastic.